her son Charlie to meningitis when he was just 3 months old. That was back in 2010, so before there was a vaccine available. Katie, good afternoon to you.
Hi, hello.
Tell me what happened to Charlie. What was the scenario that you faced?
Well, Charlie was ill for a few days. He had what looked like a virus. He had a temperature. He was just generally unwell. Took him to the doctors a couple of times. You know, they said there wasn't anything out of the ordinary. You know, he was okay at that point. And then about 4 days after he got ill, overnight he became much worse. He was crying uncontrollably. We couldn't console him. In the morning, he started making a moaning noise, which was very unusual for him. He wouldn't feed, and we ended up taking him to A&E. And after many, many hours of tests, they confirmed it was bacterial meningitis.
So, and it took a lot of tests to confirm, did it? You had none of that evidence of the rash remaining and all of that?
No, Charlie actually never got the rash. So this picture we've seen in the past few days of little Faye, Charlie never had that. He never actually got the rash. And I think that's important to mention, that not in every case do they look like that and do they have the rash. And Charlie never got that, so it certainly wasn't obvious meningitis. Even when we got to the hospital and, you know, once they started looking into it, it wasn't obvious to anybody.
And in your son's time, automatic availability under the age of one wasn't the norm.
No.
And so clearly things do change. I mean, it seems to me that there must be hope for people with kids over the age of one, because things changed for newborn to one, so they can change again.
Yeah, absolutely. And we keep pushing for, you know, vaccination programs for older children. You know, there's been a big push for the meningitis B vaccination program, which has been successful for younger babies. And, you know, hopefully with this big push that has come of Faye's campaign and all these signatures, we can get somewhere with getting older children vaccinated. I mean, Charlie had pneumococcal meningitis, which he's actually vaccinated from 2 months, but he was only a few weeks old when he got it.
And to be clear, we're talking about meningococcal B, aren't we, in this case?
We are, yeah, in this case, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're going to push for, you know, to get everyone vaccinated, you know, children up to the age of 11 in this case.
It is frustrating for parents, isn't it? Because, like I said at the beginning, there is that whole question of herd immunity when it comes to MMR, and there's, you know, political pressure, medical pressure, social pressure on people to do it. And, you know, we've had that argument many times before in the past. But this is different. This is about a very hard line being drawn at the age of one. Yeah. And little Faye was two.
Yeah, she was, yeah. Yeah, and it just goes to show, you know, if we could push to get these vaccinations at an older age, then Faye would have been in that category. But, you know, you think at the time, well, it's a low likelihood of it happening. But when you see the shocking pictures of Faye this week, you know, I'm hoping that will push people to get the vaccination, well, if they can.
But do you think, I mean, clearly there are people clamouring for it who want it for their older children.
Absolutely.
Do you understand people who are nervous still of vaccination?
Yes, I do. And I know, I understand, and I think it should be every parent's choice whether they vaccinate or not. And I do understand that people are apprehensive about getting vaccinations. But I do hope that it makes people realise, you know, the severity of meningitis, and not only could you lose your child, but the after effects are very severe as well.
Katie, thanks for coming on and talking to us about your experience with Charlie. Thank you very much.